Good morning. Happy New Year to you all. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks, the Friday edition for January 3rd, 2020. I'm David Ellis, and our producer today is Dennis Johnson. As usual, you can call us at 434-1790, or you can send your messages to us via WhatsApp at 266-4862, 266-4862. Well, my thoughts this morning revolve around practicing in the media today in the current environment. And one of the reasons why I think about it is because I listen to a lot of the debate that takes place from time to time. And coming out of what I am hearing, my conclusion is that we are seeing an emerging opposition sentiment in this country. While the voice of opposition Senator Caswell Franklin has stood out as it relates to aspects of government's performance in the last year, and particularly since the elections of 2018, I think we would agree that others have been relatively silent over the period. That we can understand because it looks as though the Democratic Labour Party did experience quite a shock by the 30-0 defeat back in 2018. But it seems as though that after the lull, their voices are being heard again, not in as much of the organized way that you would expect, but if you listen to this program, you hear it. You hear the supporters, some of those who had been calling other stations, at least one other station in particular, who have now come to VOB, to Brass Tacks. As a matter of fact, some of them were highly critical of us in that period before the election of 2018. But having no place else to go, they are back here. And what you notice is that at times there is this desire and this attempt to push the envelope, to take the call-in program in their direction. And this is where those of us who lead this particular cause here have to remain focused, have to remain firm, and have to remain fair in all of this. What we have to guard against in a program like this is the naked political manipulation, not just by people who support the Democratic Labour Party, but also by people who support the Barbados Labour Party and the other political parties that exist in the country. So how do you do that? The first order of business is to make sure that if there's criticism of one, whoever is criticized has the opportunity to respond. Another critical component in all of this is, what is the truth? So the search for the truth in every situation is crucial, because if you don't have accurate information, you cannot come to a reasonable conclusion. Now, if we follow that particular approach, if the government does well, it will be applauded. And where it does not do well, it is going to be criticized. And I really would like to encourage those of you who use this forum to recognize that to reach the conclusions that you may want to reach, you also have a responsibility to research the areas that you're talking about, get the relevant background information, rather than come to the program appearing as though you're just trying to create mischief and difficulty. Now, having said that, I have also noticed that there are some people who have been doing just that in pursuit of the goal of trying to ensure that people are well informed and that they know what the real issues are. And I want to compliment those people and encourage more of it. So, welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I am well.
There's some things here that I'd like to talk about. The first thing I would, I had a joke yesterday. Again, you went down the same road. You invited Dr. Prasad, the attorney at law, and then you had Mr. Glyde Murray, who I take, he was anxious. I was more interested in hearing what Mr. Murray said, because Mr. Murray was balanced to all the two other callers. Although the attorney, he was relatively good. The thing remains with me, Mr. Ellis, why did you not see it fit to invite... Well, there's nothing known as independent economists, but anyway, economists who might have different views and share different opinions than what Dr. Prasad would have shared on Sunday. Because on Sunday, as far as I'm concerned, that program was a PRO, and basically nothing but PRO. The most that I get coming out of that program on Sunday was that if the government do this, that they will have to send home 10,000 people, and that was repeated from time it start to time it finish. Next time you organize a program, make sure that you have another view. And this is what you're always talking about. You want to hear another view. But we didn't have another view with the exception of Mr. Glyde Murray. But all the others...
You sound grossly contradictory, but let's move on. Because I can't understand how, on the one hand, you could say that you really appreciated the interventions that came from Mr. Murray.
Yeah, but I talk about...
And then on the other, say that there was no alternative perspective.
I talk about, as far as an economist is concerned, I was speaking... That
well, you know, the bottom line was that we...
Should I have another economist on the program?
Okay, well, your view is your view. Thank you very much.
Good.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you, your family, your staff, please.
Yes, same to you, ma'am.
I want to reply to that first caller, although it's not my point. I think he's mixing up himself, and he's just looking for trouble in the early part of the year. Let me go on. I listened to that on Sunday, and I saw nothing wrong with how it was conducted. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Second point. How could a person with common sense mix an attorney general with a man that shoot a man? How could you ask for attorney general to resign for a man to shoot a man? It is nobody in politics, whether it is B, D, or C, that will make somebody shoot some person. How could you ask an attorney general to resign because of that?
I think what has happened here is that you need to go back to the period when the current attorney general was shadowing the office of attorney general when the Democratic Labour Party was in office. The comments which he made then about the challenges which were being faced, and that had a lot to do with murders and stuff that had occurred, have now come back to haunt the current attorney general. And this has a lot to do with the difficulties that people in political parties face when it comes to the whole question of national crises or big problems, which ordinarily, you know for sure that it's not all about the politics. Now, there are some matters that lie within the purview of the administration, let's say the police and things like that, the whole issue of scanners and things like that. But there's a behavior and a challenge that has gained root within the society that goes way beyond that.
So, yeah, but I'm not crossing you, but what I want to say is that this is our country, and what is going on is going to humble every person.
That's correct.
Small, big, white, and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put our heads together and work as teams, not as like politicians. Because at the end of the day, all of us live here.
Agreed.
So we can't put it on the government and say that murder's gone up. We can't sit there and rejoice and laugh at that because we don't know when it's going to hit home to our son, to our daughter, or to us. So I think at this time of the day, we got to refrain from dealing with it at that level and start and hands together and do the right thing.
But you know that
point, Craig,
politicians have a difficulty doing that, you know.
But they got to do it for the love of the country, though, because they see where we are at.
Well, when they finish, they present it as though it's for the love of the country. Yeah. When you criticize what the former administration failed to do when you were in opposition.
Yeah.
It was couched in terms of doing it for love of country. And the people who are in opposition today are likely to do the same thing.
I saw that. But you have to think ahead. You have to think ahead. And don't because that some person do something and says something, you have to come ahead at them. Just move on with what you could help the country out of. Okay?
Yes.
My last point, Craig. I agree with the senator. I don't think that nobody should be paying land tax. Because when you are a young person and you now get a job and you're looking for somewhere to live and you go and you get a piece of land, if you have to pay land tax before you get something to put on that site, you will never get a house. Because you're paying land tax, and at that you're paying at a higher rate when it is empty than when it have on something. Even when you don't have improved value, you are still paying at a high rate. And if that's what you're going to do, when some person will get a house, when a young person will get a house, and you have to pay land tax every year that's burdening you, I think that that need to look at. We can't blame this government because they did not implement the measures. But they could do something about it. That land tax needs to abolish or to be very minimal. It is burdening people.
You know, while I am sympathetic to the point that has been raised by Senator Drakes and the one that you are making, I just want to caution you, though, that what you lose on the one hand will be gained on another. So if you abolish land tax, as you believe should be done, then you are likely to find that that tax is applied to something else. And
I
most likely...
Mind.
You don't mind. Let's assume
when they say don't mind, right? I mean, that's it, that it would more like everybody would pay a little something for it.
So that's indirect taxes. So you're
going to
apply it to goods and services in the country.
Something that everybody that eating would be living.
Whenever you're finished, people are going to complain. It is how we moved the registration fee. We removed the registration fee for vehicles and applied it to gasoline.
Yeah.
So there is no... Well, I understand the concern, and Senator Drake made the point that it doesn't make sense. It's almost punitive for people who aspire to the dream of owning a home in the country.
Yes,
and
it is.
Why do you tax something that is already owned by people?
It is.
And I mean, there are a lot of people who you work so hard for a home, you pay your mortgage, and then you still have to be paying the government exorbitant taxes on the land.
But it is more than that. It is more than that because when it gets to a certain stage and you cannot pay it, and for instance, if like the owner of the house passed away and leave like children or something, and they can't get together and get it paid or anything, mm-hmm. you could lose it because it would be in the paper up for sale for the arrears. You could lose your hard-earned money. And I don't think that that is fair. I think it won't looking at. That is one of the things that I want my Prime Minister to look at in the new year. Serious. Have a blessed day here.
Thank you very much for calling. Thanks for your contribution. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Morning.
Morning.
Hey, how are you?
This is my first time.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. What prompts you
to
call us?
I tried calling yesterday, but it was 1 o'clock. It was time up.
Mm-hmm.
I was wishing... Marley, I mean, how best in the new year, and also that he will be all the best. And I was telling people to leave Marley and look how it was out. Oh, they talk about Marley this and Marley that.
Wait. Which Marley are you talking about?
I talk about my Prime Minister that I bought all.
You mean Miss Marley? You mean Miss
yes.
Marley? You gotta
yes.
put a handle
she's
on the lady's name. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I respect her a lot, and she's doing a lot to this country. If you got the country so
long,
is anybody
so? Okay, but let's deal with the issues. What are you hearing people criticize? What are they talking about?
Well, I'm staying the course right now. Okay?
You're doing what?
Staying the course right now.
Steering the course?
Yes.
How
Marty
so?
Marty is curious for what happened to this country.
No, I don't want the general point. I'm just trying to zero in on... some of the things that you have heard people criticize the Prime Minister for, and how have you seen those criticisms? Rather than just tell me where generally she's doing a good job, what have they been critical of?
People say she's doing a lot of stupidness.
Like what? On what?
The taxes and that gone up, I think so, and the bus fare gone up to 250.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Probably going to carry.
So you heard
$5.50.
You heard the
$5.50.
Sorry?
I won't care everything.
All right, but you heard the Prime Minister's address last night? You listened to it?
Yes.
How did you feel about what she said on the issues that were presented to us?
Well, I feel right. Now, this is new, you know, it can be time that this country can, you know, can go back together because we look at where we're bad. With the country, what did the party do to this country?
How do you see us being licked up, as you call it?
Oh, listen, right now, it's not hard to me right now. When the party was in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was hard.
How?
It was way hard.
How? Explain.
I had it rough.
I don't just like people tell me I had it rough.
House,
how?
My house is want repairing, right?
Yeah.
And every minute I go to the urban, they tell me I got to go to the Prime Minister, that he blows the way to sell. I really go to him, you can't see him.
Your house is no repair?
Yeah, it's no repair, and it gets paid up by Current Humphrey, clean up everything. And I thank Current Humphrey and the people.
When did that happen? When did that happen?
Christmas Day.
All right. So you would appreciate, therefore, that this is how politics works. Once you are able to see a benefit, a direct benefit, you are likely to see things completely different.
Yes.
From how the person...
Curtis, you people...
I understand, but...
And he's doing work...
I understand, but remember this. Because you have benefited directly, you're going to sing his praises. This is how some people will look at you. You're going to sing his praises, and you're going to sing the praises of the Barbados Labour Party. Because you have been a direct beneficiary of the assistance from Urban. Now, there's another person out there who has not had that benefit, who is going to see it completely differently. Agree?
Yes.
Now,
but you know how long
have been complaining about the taxes and stuff like that. Did you hear anything? And the bus fares? Did you hear anything from the Prime Minister last night that address those concerns, that answered the concerns?
I missed half.
You missed half.
I missed half.
But the half that you heard, do you think that she addressed those concerns from the people?
Yes.
How so? What did she say that, in your judgment, addressed those issues?
The things that she said and said, so that she, what can happen to the young people, what the young people are doing and stuff, so, and God should help the work and stuff, right, like the last night.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for calling. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How you doing? I know you had a good Christmas.
I am well, and you?
Well, I abide in Jesus' name. Mr. Ellis, I want you to look at that thing that happened last night in Iraq. You don't feel that and got some ramifications for we in the Caribbean if Iran really strike back? How you look at that?
We are talking about the decision by the United States to carry out strikes on
the assassination of
the commanders?
The second man there in Iran.
I know, this is precisely the same issue. Well, one has to wait and see exactly how Iran responds to this matter. And not just Iran, but its allies in the region. You know that there's been a simmering tension between the United States and Iran for quite some time. The Americans are also approaching a presidential election later this year. And that will, to a large extent, inform the way that they are going to respond to this issue. There is no doubt, you may recall that some time ago, some tankers were attacked in the Strait of Hormuz. And whenever that happens, it has a reverberative effect on the price of oil to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened there overnight is only the latest in a series of events that have occurred. We have been able to withstand most of those events without any major shakeup in our area. So it stands to reason that unless there is a big military operation or something like that, that we can continue to look to have tourists coming to us from the United States and Britain, and the stability that we currently have will be maintained. But I wouldn't panic unduly about it at this stage.
But no, I looking at that, seeing my Prime Minister last night on television trying to outline some things for this country, I said to myself, I mean, it's head time that the Prime Minister is trying to help us in this way that this thing happened.
Well, you are more afraid of that strike than you are assured that Barbados is taking steps to improve the situation?
Barbados is trying to improve the situation for the patrons, for the populace of the country. I know with this coming, now all go up, you know, things can get bad, you can hear people saying, you can get a lot of criticism, but then you can look at the real point, you know.
You have to more than that to anticipate, you know. It is not just the man-made disasters, but the natural disasters that can come in this year.
Of course, as I heard the Prime Minister said last night, that there's two things that you're really fighting for is guns and a hurricane.
Well, you can have an earthquake, too. you can be threatened, you know, in those ways. So it is trying to position the country to be able to withstand things of that nature, but there's a limit to how far we can go.
Of course.
But the question is, how comfortable or satisfied are you with the steps that have been taken so far, given the fallout that goes with those steps? Because you heard people speak earlier about the taxes and the difficulties that people have faced. I mean, I want to say this. We have been highly critical of the garbage pileup, and it is really very good news to see that the garbage trucks have come and that they are actually on the roads now. I mean, because the parts of St. Michael, and especially parts of the city, were really in a deplorable state.
Of course, I can agree with you 100%, and I'm glad that the garbage trucks come. And I was proud yesterday to hear Mr. Nappas outlining that the trucks are good trucks, and the way they were was better than at the back. To be honest, I have a nephew that is driving left-hand drive garbage truck myself. He ain't 30 years yet. So you know the part that the left-hand drive is true. He never drove a left-hand drive vehicle yet, so he won't know how it is. But I people is just looking for red herrings to put in the pot. And whatever the Prime Minister do, you gonna find people complaining. Didn't care if she gave everybody money. Somebody gonna say they didn't get sufficient. Last year when the other pensions were raised, they didn't get any, and I satisfied my time would come to get some if I live long enough. We can't be just. Well, Marcellus, this thing got me so. Some people that come on the radio got me so upset that it isn't funny. I just turn off my radio.
Yeah, but we need to.
Everybody can have an opinion, but you got to look at the way the country was before. This government trend to improve it now.
But I want to submit to you, sir, that we have to be strong enough to have that dialogue. We cannot operate in a manner that says there's only one point of view, there's only one perspective.
I agree with
For
you.
Every action that the policy action or policy that is pursued by the government, there's at least another that it could have tried.
Of course.
And that's where other people's opinions come to the fore.
Of course.
Within a democracy, this is how it works.
I agree with you 100%, Mr. Ellis.
And we have benefited immensely over the years from being able to discuss things in this way. You know, sometimes when people from other Caribbean countries hear Barbadians talk, they think that we are ungrateful. But we say to them, you know, we discuss things in this way because, yes, we might have achieved a lot more than others, but we want to stay in the forefront when it comes to development and moving forward.
I agree with you.
So people will criticize, but because you criticize it does not necessarily mean that you do not appreciate the good that has been done.
Of course.
But remember, we are also in a climate where there is no opposition in Parliament. In the House of Assembly.
You know, one of the things that I would like to see really come to fruition for the populace of this country?
What?
You see, BH, I would like some help, some real help for the QEH and the polyclinics. For instance, there's a friend of mine that got his arm broken last year. And it took him 3 weeks to get an operation on his hand every time he got put back.
Yeah.
I saw him this morning. I said, well, you get the thing, do it to me, well, you get it done yesterday. And I felt good. I know when I got my foot broken, my foot, I went into surgery the same evening. I want Bobby to get back to that position. Not you got to put back things.
Well, you know, that issue there at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital with respect to surgeries is one that the administration must address with some urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that they have to put some program, a maintenance program in place. Sometimes what happens, from what I gather, is that when you buy equipment, you have to buy the maintenance contract as well. And at times, especially when you're under financial pressure, people may sometimes want to take shortcuts and believe that they can do it all by themselves and have their own departments do these things. But sometimes that doesn't work. So it may well require that they have to revisit that particular approach, especially as it relates to this issue of the autoclaves inside the Queen Elizabeth X-rays, Hospital.
The X-rays, the different testing equipment. I would like to see we get back to that and stop using the word campaign at the moment.
But if you see, a lot of this comes right back, though, to the challenges we face with respect to the money. If we were paying, as it was outlined by the Prime Minister last night, if you're spending so much of your dollar in repaying debt, then that money is not available to be put into the hospital, the buses, the garbage, the things that must keep us going, the infrastructure of the country. So hence why we've had this problem here. Now, there is that concern about the taxes. The taxes are high. The argument which has been presented on the taxes is this. You're trying to get out of this program as quickly as possible.
Right.
And it means that you're going to have to make some kind of sacrifice.
Bear some pain.
But however, you also need to move with speed to try to create the projects that will then create the jobs and the growth that will then create the jobs. So that's where the emphasis currently is by the government, to get these projects off the ground. But those of the population who say the taxes should be lower, we must also discuss what are the implications of having the lower taxes. If you lower the taxes, then are you perceived as being sufficiently on track that you can get the upgrades, that you can get the recognition from the investor community that will help take you out of this situation? That is the dilemma that you face.
Of course, that is what the government is trying to do. Yesterday, I heard a caller say that taking down the National Insurance Building is a disgrace and this, the next, and the third.
There's nothing being done with the building right now. That building has been empty for so long.
Let's stand there and be an outsource. You know, but they've got people that just come and talk because that they've got a form that they can come.
Let the vagrants sleep on the steps, as I've seen them do. And urinate all around it, as I see them do.
That's what they want.
Mm. All right, sir. Other opinions are important, though. Let's hear them. Down to brass tacks. This person says that they are currently traveling to the United States and Bermuda, and at both ports, they have had a problem with their new passport. The passport was issued in October of 2019. In the United States, the officer said to me the passport is not scanning, and this is not the first one he had to do manually. And the result was the same in Bermuda. The person wants to know if the Barbados government is aware of this particular problem. The problem being that the new passport that this person had has not been scanning, and it has had to be done manually. And they were told in the US that that's not the first time they've had to face this particular problem from Barbados. So the Immigration Department really needs to clarify what's been going on in that regard. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm well.
On the 27th of November 2019, the IMF in their report said they expect Barbados growth to average 2% in the long term and inflation to fall to a similar 2% in the medium term, as weather conditions normalize. Growth is expected to return to the long-term average of 2% because external demand for tourism services is projected to remain buoyant in the medium term. With improving confidence, investment is expected to start picking up and foreign investment to resume. The IMF noted that between January and September, Barbados growth contracted by 0.2%, which was in line with program projections. Re-inflation, the IMF recall that since the second half of 2018, inflation has been decreasing with an uptick in the second half of 2019 owing to a fall off in rainfall. Barbados inflation dynamics were affected by domestic and international factors. Domestically, the abolition of NSRL in 2018 was a contributor to lower inflation, and low oil prices were a key contributor. The IMF said prices of domestically produced food products increased owing to a fall off and rainfall. I say that to say that brought up two important points. Well, they said that the economy would improve to the average of 2% in a while. And but significant, more significantly, because I hear a lot of people are commenting on this.
Let me ask you this question, because countries that go through IMF programs or get IMF support often find themselves hitting the right targets in terms of the big numbers. But when it comes to the trickle-down to the average person, little people say they are feeling the pinch. Now, would you accept that in the case of Barbados, we are no different in that regard, notwithstanding the fact that the government has spoken about the degree to which it has tried to look after the poorest of the poor, the support that it has given to those people? There is still that body of people that will tell you the IMF program or the BERT program is having an impact, is biting among certain groups. Is that fair?
No, it's not fair.
So who is it not biting? Who is it not biting?
No. I'm saying, right, and people are keep saying this all the time, about austerity measures, right?
Yes.
Austerity measures were here in Barbados over the 10-year period that the DLP presided over Barbados.
Has anybody denied that?
No, so what's the point they said talking about austerity measures?
Because they're saying to you...
It's not biting.
No. Right? That's not... What are you saying? You are saying it didn't start to bite, no. But you can't tell me that I ain't biting, no?
But okay. So were they saying that over the 10-year period?
Even if they weren't saying it, it was a reality. There was austerity since 2008.
But it's not a result of the BERT program. It's not a result of.
I try to live in a real world here.
Yeah, I too. But listen.
At the end of all of this, we just got to take off our blinkers and be honest about where we are. Look, the politicians that you talk to in the government, mm-hmm. many of them will never deny that this is a difficult period. The Prime Minister, we had Mr. Prasad in here a few days ago, and he conceded that it is a difficult period. The only person who in conceding it is you.
I never said that it's not a difficult period.
What are you saying then?
I started up by saying you about the NSRL, right? And you pointing me to tell me...
You are telling us that there is no austerity today.
I'm not saying that.
Well, I'm glad that you come to this position.
I'm saying that austerity did not arrive in Barbados in the last...
I agree with you on that.
That's what I'm saying.
The place that you and I disagreed... We disagree on the suggestion, the strong suggestion coming from you,
mm-hmm.
that austerity began then, and we don't still have austerity now, and that the BERT program has not carried with it some measure of austerity.
Stop.
Mm. You just said it has not, correct?
That has not do what?
That the BERT program has not inflicted any austerity?
No. I'm saying it did not start with it.
So that implies, therefore, that you agree. That implies that you agree that it does carry austerity.
Oh my goodness! Or if your economy is out of sync,
all right,
you're
took a long time. It's like pulling teeth, man.
No. Your claim is, and some people claim is, that with the BERT program, they get an introduction of austerity. I'm saying not. Let's say, use the word continuation. Continuation would be a better word than introduction. Right?
You know, in simple language, ladies and gentlemen, he's saying there was austerity before the government changed, and there's austerity now.
Yes.
Right. And that's all we were saying from the very beginning. Right.
I agree with that.
It took so long to come to that position.
No. Because I think you were saying something slightly different.
I don't think
No. With the NIS, I just like to clarify this NIS bit here a little bit, right? No, the NSRL, where people are saying that you get the removal NSRL program, but they're still not seeing low prices. We have to start off by saying this. NSRL was introduced in 2016, okay? Now, people expect or feel or think that it was put on the prices in the supermarket. It was not. It was put on the big prices items like vehicles, fridges, stereo. This fairly expensive thing. And all the agents announced when they came off and saw the reduction in the prices. Now, if you look at it, this is exactly what the IMF report here is saying. Now, I could quote you in 2016. Now, before 2016, you had quite a number of years where inflation was down because of low gas prices, right? Like, say, for instance, like in 2015, when it was very low, inflation was at 1.1%. 2016, when they introduced it, it was 1.5%.
Why don't you tell the poor? Listen, Why don't you tell the poor man or the poor woman out there how to cope with this?
No, you don't spend a little time talking to average people.
No, I'm saying, but if you keep spelling misinformation, right? If you put misinformation out there, the media, I hear you say something about media. Mm-hmm. You know the media should be informing and educating as well?
But you know, you play a role in that. I mean, we give you the opportunity to call us here every day so that you can help influence that in a most direct way.
This is what I'm doing
so
now.
So I'm helping to guide you here by saying to you, remember this.
This is what I'm doing now.
Remember this. It is all well and good to talk about the big picture. But from time to time, it is also necessary to relate that big picture to the average person who may not be having a good time.
But this is what I'm doing now.
But you're not doing it in a way that I can connect with it. So I'm trying to get you there.
You don't want to connect, right? No, let me just say it to you, right? My thing is in Barbados, right? I'm not an economist. But you know what? I'm interested in what's going on in the country, and I just pay attention. People, instead of just be critical, just listen and learn. Listen and you will learn and follow, right? That's my whole point about it. The media should be playing a pivotal role. The only way Barbados is going to get back to his usual standing, the media has to play a role. And I believe the media are not playing its role in Barbados.
So be it. The media is the whipping boy for any and everybody.
No, it's not a whipping boy.
I'm saying to you, look.
It's not the whipping boy.
We have to deal with the person who is feeling the pinch. The middle class people, too. Many people in the middle are feeling the effects of the taxation and stuff. But it is important to appreciate why the taxation has got to be where
exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
And that's where people like you who support the administration
and
should
the media.
Be. But I play my role, and that's part of my role is to help people like you to sell the point to others who may not be able to appreciate it. That the why are the taxes so high? The government made the point that you needed taxes for trying to get the buses, trying to get the sewage situation sorted out, trying to get garbage trucks. So those are the points that you make. But on the other side of that, it is how does the average person cope with it? What is it that you have to forego? How do you actually live in these circumstances? Until the jobs are created by the projects that the government has outlined, how do you deal with your water bill? How do you deal with your light bill? How do you deal with the telephone services and things like that?
But let me say this to you, right? You said, Mario, when I had a long time. But I was saying to you, and the people that keep saying this, I think I heard you mention it today. The macro economy has to improve before the micro one improves. Before people say it, then, if you want to put it this way, right? You got growth now. What do you call this? Jobless growth. This isn't real, real growth. This is jobless growth. You stabilize it, the economy, and you're not getting any worse. But it's jobless. But the Prime Minister in her first budget said that growth will come in 36 months. We just have it. It's 19 months. So you can't just get, and as you said, IMF predicted this, that it will get back there because if people have not lost confidence, you said we'd increase the confidence, hence you get the foreign investments and things. Then people start investing. Plus, to our credit rating means a lot. The credit rating, because people look to the credit rating agencies for what the country is doing, if they is safe to invest in the country or not. So that is that. All this, it's not a quick fix. Just like I was mentioning with the garbage trucks, when a lot of people were saying, "My garbage," but I keep saying it all the time, nothing cannot happen unless to get the trucks. There's some things you just can't, you just can't wait. Barbados is probably a fast food society where you just drive to the drive-through and collect your food as opposed to coming home and cooking it, So there's certain things you still have to wait on.
Having been able to get the trucks, having gotten the trucks, have you heard anything from the SSA about the proposed maintenance program for these trucks?
No, I don't think there are any government. There is not any government. but everybody in Barbados know government don't maintain nothing, period.
But seriously, though, since we've been through this crisis, don't you think it is important for us to hear more about that as well?
Of course, we're still learning a lesson.
Of course.
And you should always learn from a crisis, you know, and I believe that. Now, what is very important, now, we're fortunate to have a leader at this time that who is a visionary person. This is a you need visionaries to carry a country forward, right? And we're fortunate to have a visionary leader at this time, you know? So basically that's what it is. People have to listen to these things. Listen to when people are saying, just don't jump and sailboat. Barbados is still a welfare state. So you get your service free at delivery services because you pay taxes.
All right, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello?